So I'd like to ask if you would, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 2 through 9. And there's a Bible app event for this. If you scan that QR code, zoom in on it, it will take you right to it. Values of Jesus. So everyone knows who Keanu Reeves is, right? We all know him, the Matrix guy, right? He's a pretty popular actor these days. I think one of his very first movies was called Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. It propelled him into fame, I think. How many have seen that movie? Put your hand up. Yeah. How many love that movie? Keep your hand up. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. All right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It was rated PG. It was a good movie. It kind of epitomized, Bill and Ted themselves actually epitomized the shallowness of your teen years, of the 80s in particular, and how everything is really important and we're really not ready to face those things yet. Every other word in the movie was them saying, excellent, you know, excellent, dude. They loved it. In fact, I talked to Bob Livergood, and if I can get out of a 5-minute conversation with Bob without saying excellent, it means him saying excellent, it means I've failed, because Bob says that all the time. I think he really likes that movie. I haven't seen a movie in decades, probably not since it came out. I looked to see it this week. I was going to watch it so that I could. Isn't it nice? As part of my sermon preparation, I can watch movies on Netflix. Boy, don't you wish you were me, right? But I would have had to pay like $3, and I wasn't up for that, so I didn't watch it. But I remember it well enough to remember it had a fairly decent message. Because at the end of the movie, Bill and Ted are presenting their history product, their history project. And what happened is they're wannabe rock stars, and turns out they're going to be great rock stars. So someone, I think he might be from the future or something, he comes in and he says, look, your parents are going to send you to boarding school, military school. If you don't get your act together, you've got to pass your history project. And they say, we can't do that, man. He says, here's a time machine. Go back in time, learn history, and then come back, and you can go ahead and pass. So what they do is they take this time machine, and they kidnap people from history. They kidnap Socrates, but of course they call him Socrates, right? They kidnap Genghis Khan, Joan of Arc, Beethoven, and all these people. And then at the very end of the movie, they have them all on the platform. Hey, Bob. Excellent! Pardon me? I know, right? I just wanted to hear you say it. Oh, we're getting there. That's the next line here. Do you want to come up and preach this? It's a good Sunday. So if that happens, you're in trouble, Dave just said. Yeah. So at the end of the movie, here's a big history project, and Socrates speaks, Genghis Khan grunts, you know, the whole thing. And then Abe Lincoln comes up, Abraham Lincoln. And he stands up there, and he gives kind of a modernized version of the Gettysburg Address. And then he ends with this line. Be excellent to one another. Be excellent to one another. Well, that's not where he ends. Then he says, party on, dudes. But we'll leave that off. Be excellent to one another. That's kind of the message of the thing. Be excellent to one another. The movie. But what does it mean to be excellent to one another? We're going to talk about that in a moment. You know, we've been talking about values that Jesus has, that Kermansville Alliance has adopted. We've kind of made them our own as a church family. And we've covered four of them so far. As we're covering them, we're noting, wait, these aren't things that just we can say, yeah, our church does that. We need to say, I do that. I own this. And you may remember what they were. The first one is, we are bridge builders. And so you're asking yourself, am I a bridge builder? Or am I building walls and burning bridges? Am I a bridge builder? A second value is we build men who love God. And so we ask ourselves, am I participating in that? How could that apply to me? The third value that we talked about is we do everything together. Do I do everything with other believers, with my church family? And then the fourth one we talked about, I think this might have been last week, we pray about everything. We pray about everything. Do I pray about everything, or do I worry about everything and not bother to pray about it? Our fifth value is on the screen at the bottom, we pursue excellence in whatever we do. And the reason for this is because everything we have and everything we are, we recognize that it comes from God, and we strive to use it to serve others and to glorify Him. Now, I love this picture on the screen because I love superbikes. I haven't watched it in a long time, but I used to watch that when I was younger like crazy. Those guys are excellent bikers. They come around that corner so tight, it's absolutely amazing how quickly they go. And they are pursuing the finish line. But as they're pursuing that finish line, I can tell you they are pursuing excellence with every bone, every muscle, every nerve in their body. Because anything short of excellence at that rate of speed will send them off the track. And that, boy, that asphalt hurts, right? Yeah. I want us to be people who pursue excellence in our Christian life. That's what the value is about. And I'd like to ask you to read with me Philippians 4, 2 through 9, and just follow along silently as we read. And then we'll look back at this several other times this morning. The Apostle Paul is writing to a group of Christians in Philippi, and here in the second verse of chapter 4, he says, I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, did you catch verse 8 there? Did you see the word that we're talking about? If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So when we're talking about the Bible, what does that word excellent really mean? It would seem, if you look at the word, and I spent some time digging around and looking at it, it would seem that it means something that is pleasing to God. In fact, anything that is pleasing to God might be categorized as excellent. It's a virtue. It's a moral perfection. It is a moral quality. It is a goodness, particularly as it relates to how we live and to what we do. You can think of that word, excellence, as a virtue that encompasses other virtues. Excellence contains things like honesty, courage, integrity. In verse 8, it's synonymous with praiseworthy. And that which is excellent includes the first part of verse 8. Look again at the first part of verse 8. He has a list of things there. He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, that which is excellent is marked by those kinds of characteristics. And because of this, excellence is the way, it is the means whereby we glorify and honor God. And it is the aim of our church. That's why we own this. We say we pursue excellence in whatever we do. And it's biblical to do that. A passage of scripture where this is addressed is in Peter when he's writing to a group of Christians in chapter 4, verse 10. He's talking about how they believe and how they participate as a body together. And he says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone should speak, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. And look at the screen. I'll put it on the screen. It says, the reason for this is so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And so we as a church pursue excellence. We aim for excellence as a church. Gail was playing the piano this morning. She went and sat down, and I said to her early in my sermon, I said, Gail, in the first service, I said, Gail, that was lovely. Did you practice that? Or something like that. And of course she said, yeah. She practices every day. Why? Because she's pursuing excellence as a musician for the honor and glory of God. Our worship team, I don't know if they still have a rule, but they had a rule that if you can't be here for practice, then we'll find someone else to fill your slot. And the thinking there isn't like to be mean, but the thinking there is that we're aiming for excellence. We want to pursue excellence because we believe that honors God. Our children's workers look over their material in advance. They are pursuing excellence in teaching. Our small group leaders, Matt Molesky, he's out in the hallway walking toward his Sunday school class this morning. I said, hey, you got a minute to talk? And he said to me, I'm going in to look over my notes. And I said, tough, I want to talk to you. We talked. But why does he want to look over his notes? You know, he's Matt. Matt remembers things like, I don't know, like the other Matt, Matt McCracken. They just remember things really well. What's he looking over his notes for before he leads that small group? Because he's pursuing excellence in everything he does. Even a Thanksgiving dinner. Do we really need the red stuff? Yes, because without it, Thanksgiving will not be excellent, right? Oh, you're nodding. Man, I'm outnumbered this morning. That's weird. Yeah. You see, we want to honor God, so we pursue excellence in whatever we do. That's our church. But what about you? That's what we're doing with these values. Do you personally pursue excellence in whatever you do? Maybe it'd be good for us to talk about how we pursue excellence or how one pursues excellence. There are lots of answers to that question. I mean, we could probably think of a dozen of them here and we'd have a Christian book we could sell. 12 ways to pursue excellence. You get an introduction on that, you get someone to write a foreword, you're in good shape, right? We're not going to do that, though. What we're going to do here is we're going to look in a passage we just read, and we're going to pull out of that passage three elements that need to be in our pursuit of excellence. How do we pursue excellence? And the first one is this. The first one is this. We think. And we think prayerfully. After Paul gives this list in verse 8, he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, then he says, think about these things. And the word think here doesn't just mean to ruminate or to meditate on them. In fact, I don't know why, but that's what I thought he was talking about there up until this past week. I've been kind of picked up somewhere along the way that what I should do is meditate on that which is noble and that which is right and that which is pure. Anything but the elections. I got to meditate on that. Maybe that's what he's saying here. But that word think, that Greek word, is a kind of word you would use if you were solving a mathematical problem. And that's not just like thinking and kind of ruminating about it. It's the kind of thing you would do if you were writing that 12-chapter book and you got to chapter 7, which is a really hard one, and you really have to close the door and think about what to say. The word you would use is the word Paul uses there. Or if you're an IT guy, you know, and you got this problem somewhere in a system, there's a glitch and I can't figure it out, and you spend a few days just trying to figure that out, that's the word that he uses here. Or if you have a teenage daughter, try to figure that out. Or if your woman happens to be married to a husband, try to figure that out, right? It means to put something together in your mind. Think about such things. You think about what does it mean to be truthful, to be dignified, to be honorable, to be righteous, to be just, to be pure, to be lovely, to be admirable, to be commendable. And by the way, those things don't come automatically. It takes time and attention to figure out what exactly is excellent in any situation or endeavor. So, for example, you ask yourself a question like this. Guys, you ask yourself a question like this. What would it mean to be a man who pursues loving my wife the way Christ loves the church? What would that look like for me in my family? And you think about it. And you prayerfully consider things like this. What would it look like for me to pursue excellence in my attitude toward others, to control my tongue? What would need to change? And you prayerfully think about that. And you wonder to yourself, what would be involved in honoring my father and mother as they grow older and get just a little bit more set in their ways? What is that going to require? And you think about it. You talk to God about it. You see, pursuing excellence requires that you get alone with your thoughts and you get alone with God. You find a quiet place maybe with your Bible in hand and you sit down there and you say, I need to think about how I can I can pursue excellence in this area or that area. Or when you're driving in your car, I know a lot of you put on miles going to and fro to work. Man, just turn that noise off and just say, God, let's think about what I can do as I pursue excellence in living my life for you. Pursuing excellence means asking the Spirit of God to speak to you and thinking about what he says. How to pursue excellence. We think and we observe. We observe. So when my daughter was, I think she was still in elementary school, maybe fifth or sixth grade, but she might have been in junior high. It's one of my favorite stories. You know, my stories are all numbered. This is number 37. Okay. So she's in Bible school. We had Bible school back then in March. We had like a very exciting Bible school, we called it, right? And it was my job as a pastor to go to the classrooms and just present the gospel. Here's how to be saved. And my daughter knew I was coming to her class. And now, if you've ever taught a Sunday school class where one of your children are, you know that's a disaster. My mom was always the seventh and eighth grade Sunday school class until I came along, and then she resigned. The very Sunday, my first Sunday there, she walked out, went to the pastor and said, I resign, not teaching Steve Shields, right? And so there's my daughter who has just a little bit of my blood in her veins, right? And I go in thinking, I wonder how this will work. And I'll tell you what, as I was explaining the gospel, that girl was riveted. She was just riveted. I never had her attention like that before or after. And so I'm a little concerned because I'm thinking, wait, how does she not know this? Because I know we've talked about this. And so mom always tucked them in at night, and I went up and I said to her, this is how I remembered it anyway, I said to her, Esther, you were really focused when I shared the gospel. What's going on? Listen to this. I was watching you, Dad, so I would know how to do that. Observing. You can learn a lot from observing. I have learned through YouTube how to use a program called DaVinci Resolve during COVID and make some really decent videos out of it. You know how I did it? I watched a video of a guy making a video on DaVinci Resolve. I observed. YouTube has taught me other things, how to replace your battery on your phone. If you need your battery on your phone, bring it to me. I've probably done it 6 or 10 times, and I've only broken like 3 or 4 phones. But I know, dollar and cents wise, I'm ahead of the game because I observed. It even taught me to install a hitch on my Hyundai Santa Fe. But before I ordered that hitch, I watched that video so many times. I observed. That is what Paul is telling the people in Philippi to do. Tune into YouTube and learn how to be a Christian. No, he's telling them to watch him. Look at verse 9 again. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard or from me or seen in me, look and listen. Look and listen. If you want to pursue excellence in your walk with God, find people who seem to be pursuing it in theirs and observe what they do. And by the way, let me just throw this in here. Find real people with flesh and blood. Not TikTok people, not someone who wrote a book 800 years ago. It's very easy to create an image on social media or even in literature of who you are. An image that just doesn't exist in the real world. Find real world people. Get to know them. Connect with them. Communicate with them. Observe them. It's how you pursue excellence. Third, pursuing excellence. Oh, look at that. That wasn't excellent at all. I got the Bible verse here. Let me back up and start over. Just kidding. Pursuing excellence, we imitate. We imitate. Look at verse 9 again. It says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. So I play the guitar, but not well enough that you would want me to play on your worship team. But I play it okay. My grandkids really like it. I have played it internationally. I've entertained Arabs in the Arabian Peninsula under the moon with my guitar. I will tell you, they love Eric Clapton. They are not fond of Puff the Magic Dragon. I remember early on when I wanted to learn the guitar, I remember, of course, holding the chords with your hand without them all being duds. That's really hard to do. But there was something I always wanted to learn when I was at the University of Pittsburgh that I could never get down, and that's finger picking. You know how you just, with your thumb and your fingers, I could strum, but to finger pick, it just sounded like, you know, because my fingers weren't picking, they were touching, they were thumping, they were hitting, they weren't doing the right thing. And when I went to Cove Falls College, this is just a weird thing, at the University of Pittsburgh, at a secular school, there was a couple guitarists on every floor of the dorm. At a Christian school, Cove Falls College, there was a guitarist in every room. It's just weird. It's just weird. They all played an instrument or something, yeah. And I thought, I can use that to my advantage. So in an evening, I would pick up my guitar, and I'd go down the hall, and I'd knock on his door and say, hey, you want to play guitar together? And, you know, they're Christians, so they can't say, not with you. And I would go in, and I would just watch what they do. And I watched them over and over again, finger picking. Watch them again and again and again. Guess what I learned to do? Finger pick. Let me show you. No, I'm not going to show you. Right? Yeah. Initially, it sounded awful, but I kept watching and watching and watching and trying and trying. And it's not excellent. I pursued excellent. I didn't hit it. But I pursued it by imitating others. So, verse 8. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, observe. And the end of verse 9, put it into practice. Imitate. We do these things because we want to honor God. And we do these things as well as because they bring a blessing. There are benefits to doing these things. One of them has to do with relationships. Don't you hate it when you were at odds with someone you didn't used to be at odds with? I mean, if you didn't like the guy from the start, that's one thing. But someone who was a good friend and that friendship is fractured, don't you hate that? And don't you hate it when you didn't like him from the start too? Sometimes it happens because of a misunderstanding. Sometimes it happens because of an offense. Sometimes it happens because we just don't agree on that particular thing. I want to tell you that I believe that pursuing excellence in your life can help. It can actually bring a peace that heals relationships. I hope I have your attention because this is counterintuitive that this would work this way. You may have noticed when we read the passage that Paul speaks personally to a couple of women in Philippi. And he respects these women. These are women that he says contended at his side in proclaiming the gospel. Every now and then you hear that the Bible doesn't respect women. Find me another first century religious text that says that, right? And now these women who he respects, they've contended at his side and in his ministry, and now they were evidently for some reason having a disagreement that everybody knew about, even Paul knew about it, though he was far away. Look at verse 2. Look what it says. I plead with Euodia and I pray with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And then he speaks in verse 3 to someone we don't know. He says, yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side for the cause of the gospel along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose name are in the book of life. Help them. Let your gentleness be known to all. And we don't know what these women were struggling about. Frankly, it's none of our business, right? We don't have to know. But Paul's suggestion intrigues me. Be of the same mind in the Lord. How do you do that? Here's how it works in Laurel's and my relationship. When I was young, I would say that and look over at her like, you okay with me telling a story that you have no idea what it is? But I cleared it with her this time. You know why? I'm pursuing excellence in my marriage. Here's how it works in Laurel's and my relationship. There are a lot of things my wife and I agree upon. And there are many things, many areas in which we have opposing viewpoints. Isn't that how it always is? And things can get a little rocky. Well, honey, not rocky, but gravelly. What do you think? Right? Yeah. Pebbly? If one of us believes that the other hasn't behaved with excellence in addressing the situation, if one of us believes the other hasn't taken time to understand the issue, to think and to observe, that issue becomes more difficult to resolve. If I am being lazy in pursuing excellence in my understanding and my thinking. If Laurel doesn't see me looking for what is true and what is noble and what is right and what is pure and what is lovely and admirable, it's hard for her to do, verse 2, to be of the same mind in the Lord. I don't blame her. But here's the beautiful thing. When each of us believe the other is pursuing excellence regarding the issue, then trust arises. And we're able to agree in the Lord, even though we retain our own opposing opinions. Because we know. You thought it through. I get it. You see it differently. I respect that. I know you're pursuing excellence, and it benefits and heals our relationship. You see, Euodia and Syntyche didn't have to agree on the details. They just had to see to it that they were both pursuing excellence and agree in the Lord and trust Him to work out the details. And so think about that. As you are celebrating communion with your church, with your family, with God, take a moment and talk to God about your relationships. Are you pursuing excellence in them? Pursuing excellence brings peace with whatever the outcome happens to be. When I was about 12 years old, I think, my older brother and I planted some wheat. He and Dad had done that before, been successful, and turned a profit of maybe $2 or $3. But when Glenn and I planted that wheat that year, each of us ponying up $75 for the grain, it didn't go well. We blamed it on a dry summer, because we had to blame something, but honestly, we had some equipment problems, and so the crop was lost. We could have hustled and borrowed some equipment. I mean, for crying out loud, Dean and Walter and Terry Lee Shields were all a mile and a half away. We'd pick up the phone, they would have come over and done it for us. They're good people, they're relatives. But we didn't bother to do that. We didn't pursue excellence, and the crop was lost. It was not a good experience for me. Partially because when you're 12 years old in the 1970s, $75 is a gold mine. But the other reason it didn't turn out well for me is because I always felt to this very day, we didn't give it our best shot. You know? Even though I was only 12, I just was so ticked off at myself and at my brother that we didn't try our best. And we failed. But I found when you try your best, when you faithfully pursue excellence in whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, you may still have regrets, but not that kind of regret. Not that kind of regret. In fact, when you have pursued excellence, a measure of peace is available to you, whatever the outcome. I see that in verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, and put into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. Notice he doesn't say this. He doesn't say, hey, whatever you have learned from me, put into practice, and everything's going to work out the way you want it to. He says, what you get if you pursue excellence in these things, what you get will be the peace of God. So as you go to communion today, ask the Spirit of God to show you areas in your life where you're not pursuing excellence, and ask him to help you change that. Third, pursuing excellence contributes to a peace that rests on God's presence. Look at verses 6 and 7. By the way, anybody memorize this, Philippians 4, 6 and 7? Yeah, good deal. Three or four of us do. Okay, I'm not going to put you on the spot. Put me on the spot. See if I get it right. Look at your Bibles. Follow along. Ready? How's it begin? Give me the first word. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I missed one word, right? That's because the NIV has updated it. I said it right. I said it the old way. Yeah. What a show off, huh? Listen, if you've never memorized Scripture, this would be a good pair of verses to start with. Listen to it again. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, present by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Pray about it. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Think about that. Basically, he's saying, don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's one of our values. And when you do, God will give you peace. It's a peace that transcends all understanding. What does that mean? It means I don't get it, but I have peace. You know, I prayed that I wouldn't go to jail, but here I am in a jail in Philippi next to Silas. I didn't get what I prayed for, but I have a peace. It's a peace that lets me sing in prison. This is the Apostle Paul I'm referring to. It's a peace that's kind of incomprehensible. How does that happen? It happens because of the presence of God. The presence of God. You know, everybody's favorite psalm is Psalm 23. And that's where he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I know the sun will come up tomorrow. Nope. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And that gives him peace. That gives us peace. And as we pursue excellence, we can leave the rest with God and rest in his peace. God is a God of excellence. That's a value that belongs to Jesus, because everything Jesus ever did was nothing short of excellence. He offered salvation, which we celebrate by enjoying the Lord's Supper together. And his offer of salvation is the most excellent offer you'll ever get. Before the founding of the world, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit laid out a plan for your redemption, the redemption of humankind. And that redemption plan centered on the Son, on Jesus dying on a cross to pay for your sins. And there is no more excellent sacrifice than that. And he invites us to find forgiveness by turning to him and by trusting him, trusting Jesus. How excellent is that? Forgiveness and eternal life, simply by turning our hearts away from sin and turning them to him and saying, yes, I trust you. I believe you love me and gave yourself for me. And communion is all about that excellence, the excellence of Christ's sacrifice. I want to ask the musicians to come, and I want to ask the communion stewards to come, and then I'm going to read you a passage of scripture before they begin to play. So worship team, would you guys come, and elders, communion stewards, would you please join us as well? Are we missing one? So Tom, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to get Brian. Brian, you've been helping us regularly. Would you help us with communion? So as we're preparing our hearts for communion, you know what I want to do? I just want you to focus your mind. And back in the like 1700s, they believed that you could think best on your feet. That's why there were no stools on the desks. So I really want you to focus your mind. If you're comfortable doing so, would you stand as I read this? So you're kind of standing out of reverence for God's word, but you're standing as well because I really want you to hear about the excellence of Christ's sacrifice for you. The author of Hebrews is writing, he's talked about how, you know, the blood of sheep and the blood of goats and bulls and so on only goes so far. The sacrifice of Jesus is superior to all of that. Listen to what he says in 9:11 through 14. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that's not made with human hands, that is to say, is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that outwardly they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, clear our consciences from acts that lead to death so we may serve the living God? Do you see the excellence of this sacrifice? Do you see the perfection of Christ? Do you see how, number one, it tells you it is finished? And if you're trusting in him, You're good to go and you're good to grow and become more like him. And do you see how the excellence of this sacrifice provokes within your heart a desire to be excellent to one another, a desire to honor him above all things, and a desire to serve him before all things? I'm going to ask that you be seated, and I'm going to ask that the worship team, do you play while we do? Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to ask that you be seated, and we're going to distribute the bread. I'm going to ask you take this time to think about those things that are excellent, to think about what is true, what is noble, what is good, what is right, what is admirable. If anything is excellent, think about that kind of thing. And think about how you can live a life that honors that kind of excellence and how you can pursue that kind of excellence in your own life. And talk to God about that. And watch what he does in your heart right now and in the days that are ahead for you.